This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. It's me, Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Frida Liu.
We are not talking about consumer behaviour today or consumer trends. We're talking about something else. We're talking about recycling. Mm. Is recycling actually been done right? I think a lot of us kind of
wonder
about
this. We do
this,
our bits separating stuff and we wonder. Mm.
And then that truck comes down. Right. They take all of those three or four separate bags and they throw them all in the same place. And we wonder what happens after that.
We wonder.
Now, the pandemic brought, you know, many issues into focus. And one of those issues, of course, was the way products and materials were recycled, especially as the rise of disposable masks and containers took place and things like the test kits and whatever. What has the overall effect of the pandemic been on the recycling and plastics industries? And how does this impact businesses' approach to sustainability as a whole? So at the very least, there are movements in place towards becoming at least a little less wasteful of the country. Right. For example, this month, the Selangor government set five policies with regard to the operation of factories and premises processing recycled plastic waste in the state to prevent pollution. State Tourism, Environment, Green Technology and Orang Asli Affairs Committee Chairman He Loi Sian stated that from now on, the import of recycled plastic waste for the purpose of recovery or final disposal for all factories that carry out the plastic recycling process is not allowed.
Right.
New business licences for recycling factories will not be considered or approved by state authorities, the PBN, and local authorities, the PBT. Apart from that, a review every 5 years will be made for applications for new business licences for plastic recycling factories. Existing factories with valid licenses can continue to operate subject to certain conditions. He said the Department of Environment and PBT should also implement enforcement in an integrated manner by carrying out more detailed inspections to ensure all procedures and rules are complied with.
Right. You know, just remembering the story a couple of years ago where there was a container full of wasted materials coming into Malaysia, being imported in Malaysia. So I guess the purpose was actually for further upcycling. I don't know. Mm. Anyway, however, sometimes it does seem like the conversation around recyclable waste and eco-friendly approaches is still, you know, it's very much in its infancy here. This is a massive problem as Malaysia generates approximately 14 million tonnes of municipal solid waste annually, of which 43.7% consists of dry recyclables such as plastic, paper, glass, metal and Tetra Pak. Mm-hmm. So the rate of recycling is still considered low, even though it's increased over the last 7 years from 10.5% to 28.06%. So, yes. And most of our disposed waste still ends up in the landfills. In Southeast Asia, Singapore has the highest daily waste generation per capita at 3.72 kilos per person per day, followed by Malaysia at 1.2 kilos. Malaysia even ranks second in Asia for annual per capita plastic use and worldwide. Malaysia in 8K, and it ranks 8th among nations that mismanage plastic waste. Malaysians also reportedly dump over 30,000 tonnes of plastic waste into the sea yearly.
Wait, so we generate less waste per capita than Singapore?
Mm.
That's an interesting figure. Almost double. They are over double us. Mm. Anyway, Malaysia has 8 more years left in its roadmap towards zero single-use plastics, 2018 to 2030. But going by the current trend in consumer habits and practices, see, we did do consumer trends. It has come up.
Yep.
Will the nation ever be able to realise its goal of eliminating single-use plastics by 2030? So commenting on this, University Putra Malaysia Faculty of Forestry and Environment Senior Lecturer Dr. Muhammad Yusof Ishak said that the road to achieving the zero single-use plastic target is getting harder. In fact, it may even be impossible.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Citing public apathy, he said people in general are not serious about the dangers of mismanaging plastic waste. He said their attitude is evident based on the 40,000 tonnes of domestic waste generated in KL alone as of the 20th day of Ramadan last month, which is the largest amount of waste collected by solid waste management and public cleansing concession holder Alam Flora in the last 4 years. with single-use plastic bags forming the bulk of the waste generated in the capital. He also added that the Malaysian society's lackadaisical attitude must not be taken lightly.
Also known as tidak apa.
Ah.
So this very attitude has been identified as the main reason why the use of plastic is still high in this country, particularly in wet markets and sundry stores and during festive seasons, despite the implementation of various awareness campaigns. For example, many traders still prefer to use non-environmentally friendly plastic bags because these are cheaper than biodegradable ones. Mm-hmm. Consumers too mainly prefer to use plastic bags simply because recyclable bags have to be cleaned each time they're used.
Yeah.
This shows that people would rather prioritize convenience and consider the effects of plastic environment. My question to our guest yesterday, right? Convenience over what is good.
Yeah.
Mohamed Yusof also said that Malaysia's plan to attain zero single-use plastics by 2030 is hampered by the fact that not all states have enforced the Solid Waste and Public Cleansing Management Act 2007, Act 672.
So that act, which is currently enforced in only seven states, requires households and owners of business premises to separate their waste at the source. Five states, Kelantan, Terengganu, Selangor, Perak and Penang, have yet to sign the Solid Waste and Public Cleansing System Agreement as provided by Act 672. You know,
Selangor and Penang.
Five of the biggest states, other than Penang, of course. Mohamed Yusof also observed that efforts by local authorities and state governments to impose a 20 cent charge on each plastic bag have not been successful as the sum was too small. He said the 20 cent charge for each plastic bag has a tremendous impact on environmental sustainability because plastics that are not managed properly take between 400 to 1,000 years to decompose naturally. Mm. And there are other risks as well. Plastic waste can cause obstructions in drainage systems, leading to the occurrence of flash floods. Interesting. Look, we look at where the floods are. Kelantan, Terengganu, Selangor. You know, some might say that some of these...
Coincidence
or not. And plastic waste dumped into the sea can, of course, be detrimental to marine life.
Meanwhile, Zero Waste Malaysia co-founder Ko Soo Yee said while public awareness is slowly growing, many people's knowledge of why it is important to eliminate single-use plastics is still shallow. So while we can already see some people practicing the zero waste lifestyle, people who bring their own containers when buying takeaway food at restaurants and use recyclable bags when they go shopping, for example, only a handful practice such a lifestyle. Mm. Others may know of this lifestyle but don't practice it. Mm-hmm. Then there are those who have no idea that a campaign for zero single-use plastic even exists. Kor said that based on a study carried by ZWM on 7,000 respondents in the Klang Valley, 50% of them said they were confused about the type of items that can be recycled. As such, she added, ZWM often collaborates with residents, associations, companies and educational institutions to impart information on recycling and inculcate the habit of recycling in the community, especially among school children.
It was something that was inculcated in me as a kid.
Right.
You know, right from day one of being at school, make sure your desk is tidy, clean up after yourselves. And what they would do is that on our break, we'd have two break times in the morning. And the first early break, we'd be outside brushing and sweeping the actual playground. That right. would be part of our thing.
So I'm looking at this, right? I mean, the zero waste lifestyle, I don't live it. I try to, right? But again, you know, it's not a part of my lifestyle, which is, you know, I'm really sorry, but you know, I guess I need these constant reminders. But the whole idea of recycling, I only saw as a student, a university student in Australia in the early 90s, and them living, separating their plastics, decomposting. It was like, whoa, new information for me, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not 100% zero waste.
Yeah.
In our household, but we're pretty close.
Right.
You know, we recycle a whole bunch of our stuff. We constantly use containers over and over again. Very rarely do we use single-use plastics. And even if I did, I get very harshly scolded about doing it. You know, I carry a bag around with me and I've kind of fallen into trying to follow part of that lifestyle, you know?
Which is good.
We'll see. Anyway, so what else goes on in the business of recycling here in Malaysia? We'll be hearing from Mo Tarek, the founder of Earth, that's ERTH, and Sia Kien Ho, founder of Henkiap Industries, after the break for their take on the subject. We've got some music up next from New Order with 60 Miles an Hour. If you want to comment on what we're talking about and whether or not you are a zero waste practitioner, or if you recycle, or you know, do any of these things, please do talk to us and let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, of course, we're at BFM Radio. New Order up next, 60 miles an hour here on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. It's me, Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Frida Liu.
12:20 here in the studio, coming up to 12:21. Anyway, we are talking about recycling today, how the pandemic brought many issues into focus. And one of those issues was the way products and materials were recycled, especially as the rise of disposable masks and containers and test kits and all of that kind of took place. What has the overall effect of the pandemic been on the recycling and plastics industries? And how does this impact businesses' approach to sustainability as a whole? If you want to get in touch with us regarding this topic, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, and Twitter at BFM Radio.
Right, and we've got Maggie Bears, how are you? She said, apart from being sceptical to what happens to the waste, I tried to separate seeing that everything seems to be dumped to a garbage truck. I'm also still confused over what can or cannot be recycled. Is it tissue, paper, stationery, clothes or rags that cannot be given away, used dry cells that I keep forgetting to take to IKEA, and the excessive washing I would have to do with disposing plastic oil bottles?
Yeah. We could do it like a cheat sheet. I think every kind of house should have a cheat sheet about what you can recycle, what you can't recycle. I know there are certain Tetra Paks that you can't recycle, but certain Tetra Paks that you can recycle,
right,
depending on what they have inside.
Okay. And I thought Tetra Pak was Tetra Pak.
Right. Okay. I also know that there are some dry cells you can recycle. It's a complicated process. Right. This is the thing, right? We, at this point, we should know, really, shouldn't we? You know, or we should have been educated.
Right.
Carry on.
So this is, and Maggie's saying, I'm afraid I'm not a very effective conservationist. And I guess that speaks for all of us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So obviously, as has just been clearly evident, we are not experts on this matter, but we do have a couple of people who are joining us on the phone. Firstly, we've got Mo Derek. He is the founder of Earth, E-R-T-H, which is an e-waste recycling through Heroes program. And Sia Kian Ho, the founder of Heng Hiap Industries.
Sorry,
I do apologize.
Okay. So a question for the gentleman, right? You know, what do you think of the marketing push towards promoting eco-friendly, you know, and sustainable practices? Do you think it's genuinely helpful or all lip service?
I think the marketing push towards sustainability by companies is an indication that consumers started to care about these things. Some companies are doing a genuine effort, while some companies are greenwashing, and that's understandable because if they don't have any regulatory necessity to comply with certain sustainable practices, then it will be up to each company's leadership to decide the threshold with which they will carry out their sustainability practices. But in general, I think as the market shifts and consumers start to demand more sustainability from companies, I think this will be a step in the right direction. If it's reinforced later by regulation, then I think we are really onto a good track.
Kian Ho?
If let's say the marketing is pushing towards promoting eco-friendly products or practices, if this stays as a marketing level, then I think, you know, either that the marketing communication is structured as such, it is to bring awareness and also to educate the public about it. I think, you know, it will basically stay at that level. If there's no continuity and if it's not continuous, then, you know, it may actually face the danger of, you know, being a lip service. What we want to see is that that marketing effort must be coupling together with the supply chain initiative.
Right.
Now, the supply chain initiative involved in product design, basically the whole manufacturing and also the entire supply chain subsequently to support the eco-conscious vision. And if we have that marketing, then also the supply chain plus the innovation aspect in the business as the fundamental DNA, then I think, you know, this company is doing something profound, and definitely it will be genuinely helpful for the eco-society as a whole.
So would you say then that plastic is the easiest recyclable material to process? Why or why not? Mo?
Well, I think plastic is unique in the sense that it is certainly very abundant around us. And you know, we all use plastic on a daily basis. And I think the technology in terms of plastic recycling still needs to catch up with the amount of plastic that the world uses. Mm-hmm. However, I have heard of some creative uses of recycled plastic, like, for example, they use it in concrete, perhaps in some cold countries to achieve an insulation effect, or they melt it down and make something new out of it, like furniture. So I think that we're starting to see some more creative uses. I don't think that, you know, the ultimate majority of recyclable plastic is being put to good use today. I think the real number is somewhere around 10%. So I think there's a long way to go. But no, I wouldn't say that plastic is the easiest, actually.
Same question for you then, Kian Ho.
Yeah, I actually think that, you know, plastic is actually easier to recycle. Mm. However, there are certain conditions that has to come along with it. The material preparation before that is really important. Meaning after we dispose, how we do it, how do we do separation? How do we do the cleaning, the crushing part of the crushing part of the plastic product into waste or flakes? Those are very, very important because if we have done everything right, then it is easy for us to process and also to recycle plastic. The reason I say it's easy to process is that compared to the other material, through mechanical recycling process, we melt it down at approximately 200 degrees Celsius. That is actually relatively low compared to other types of material.
Right. So, Mo, having heard that, would you say plastic's the most profitable material to recycle? Mm. Why or why not?
I also don't think that plastic is the most profitable recyclable because as a e-waste professional, I do know that electronic waste has, for example, some precious metals like gold, and it certainly gives a bigger bang for the buck than, you know, plastic. So if I had to choose 1 ton of plastic versus 1 ton of e-waste, I would definitely go for the 1 ton of e-waste because I believe that it will be more profitable.
Kian Ho?
I think for this question, it is quite challenging because I think, you know, there are certain family or certain polymer types which is more profitable compared to the others, that the others, there are certain family types, you know, which are very unique and very niche, which are very difficult to recycle. So all plastic can be recycled technically, but not all plastic can be recycled profitably at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Rule of thumb, basically the consumer packaging plastic such as polypropylene, polyethylene, and PET are currently more commercially viable and relatively speaking more profitable compared to the engineering type of plastic, whether it's PMMA, so on and so forth. I think that is the basic guideline of it.
All right. Okay, with that in mind then, let's take a very short break. Folks, if you're only just tuning in, we're talking about recycling, of course, and how things maybe got a little bit out of hand during the pandemic. Of course, we've got the masks and the testing kits and Lord knows how many plastic containers.
Food takeaway.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Have you been noticing this a lot more? Have you started to become a lot more conscious and started trying to at least recycle or use less plastics? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, of course, we're at BFM Radio. Let's have a little bit of music whilst Mo and Kian Ho take a little break and a breather. It's some Blondie up here with Atomic here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's 12:36 here in the studio. I'm Rich Bradbury.
Frida Liu.
We're talking about recycling today. We've got a couple of fellas on the line with us. We have Mo Tarek. He's the founder of Earth, the e-waste recycling through Heroes program, and Sia Kien Ho, the founder of Hang Kiap Industries. We have been talking about this because as the pandemic has brought many issues into focus, and one of those issues was the way products and materials were recycled, especially with the rise of disposable masks and containers and other stuff has been taking place. So we're going to pick up where we left off with Mo and Kien Ho. Frida, you want to pick up?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things is that there are many variants of recyclable material. Why is it that we tend to focus on plastic, especially in these conversations?
I think this is due to the fact that plastic is probably the most visible pollutant. If you go to the river, you're going to see plastic bottles floating around. We see, you know, like plastic bags flying in the street. So it's just so abundant around us, and we tend to see it every day. And that's why there is a lot of focus on plastic, as it should be, because it is certainly a polluting element. And I think I've heard a statistic that by 2050, there will be more plastic in the sea than fish. And that's certainly not good for humanity. So I think that's why plastic is a big issue. But I think that there is also other types of recyclables that also need equal attention, like e-waste, for example.
Kien Ho, same question.
You're right that there are many variants of recycled material. And we tend to focus on plastic simply because if we were to compare to other type of recycled material, if we look at the common ones, you know, we will see that the other types of material are actually relatively well recycled. Ferrous metal, for example, the recycling rate is more than 75%, which is very, very good for developing countries like Malaysia. Paper, fiber-based, and we get more than 60%. And all these are actually very a healthy number. Of course, we can still improve it, but this is a healthy number to begin with. Plastic, globally, the recycling rate is only 9%. Wow. And here in Malaysia, according to the report by Solid Waste Malaysia, the Malaysian recycling rate is 30%. So there's still room for us to improve. And then plastic is also very visible. And of course, you know, when the plastic, when it's not properly managed, the leakages such as to landfill, to river, and worse still, to the ocean, are the one that actually gain a lot of attention and basically making their headlines to major to all social media, as we have seen. And therefore, this becomes, you know, plastic pollution becomes one of the area that I think government, businesses, NGOs, and special interest group are actually trying to come together and to solve this challenge collectively.
Okay, just help us out a little bit then, and tell us what you think generally what happens to recycled plastic after it's actually been processed. Let's hear from you first, Kien Ho.
After plastic is recycled, most of all of this recycled material are basically being specked in into a product, so it gets turned into a product again. So I think this is a very effective utilization of plastic because we're giving, you know, the recycled plastic a second life, and it turns into household product like chairs, tables, so on and so forth. So yeah, they actually get turned into commercial products again.
Okay, Mo.
I have some friends in the plastic recycling industry. And they told me that what they usually do is they basically break it down to small plastic beads that are then handed over to other industrial players that make other things out of it, like, for example, furniture. So, so far, this is one of the most common uses for recycled plastic that I'm aware of.
Right. Well, you're obviously talking about Kien Ho. So, gentlemen, how has the pandemic affected into our conversations surrounding recycling?
I think the pandemic has definitely shed some light on the issue because during the MCO, when everyone was sitting at home, we started to see, you know, the effects of human pollution, you know, fade away in our rivers and in our forests. So, you know, we started to see the water getting clearer and the wildlife starting to come out again. So I think that it certainly is something that made people more aware of sustainability. But on the other hand, that time also caused a surge of using electronic devices, which of course have a lot of plastic inside them, and this plastic is not usually easily recyclable. So so I think that this is a problem that is becoming more serious as we go along. I think that we now have to balance between getting the economy back on track in light of, you know, the current recession and inflation that many countries are suffering from, but at the same time have sustainability in mind. And that is going to be a hard balance, because for the past few decades, the world has just been focused on consumption and growth rather than sustainability. And now we have seen the effect of that. So I think restoring the balancing act is going to require collaboration across different organizations and different members of society. Of course, the regulators all are going to have to basically sing together in concert in order to make a real change.
Okay, Kian Ho?
Well, as a whole, the pandemic actually hurt the recycling business relatively badly. For Malaysia, for example, during our CMCO and NCO, our steel mills were closed, and then our paper mills were closed. Right. And without these steel mills and paper mills operating, the entire supply chain network were not able to mobilize the material, or mobilizing the material in a slower manner. Mm-hmm. So the overall conversion slowed down, and therefore the cost goes up. The overall margin and or the commercial viability goes down. Now, for plastic, it is also quite badly affected, because at this point of time, a lot of our collection is still relatively manual dependent for us to collect all this plastic. And again, during MCO and CMCO, what happened is that many of this operation has closed down. And again, you know, from a commercial point of view, it actually has impacted the entire plastic recycling landscape.
Okay, it's not the brightest of pictures, is it? But we do have one final question for you then. It's about the future. What would you say is the outlook for the future of recycling, both as a movement and as an industry? Mo, let's hear from you first.
I think the plastic recycling movement is not going away. It is going to become more serious as we go along. And I think that this is something that everyone should become more aware of. Of course, we are all guilty. I think we all use plastics on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And I think in some cases there isn't a good enough alternative to using plastic. Like, for example, when you go to the supermarket and you see that they are doing a plastic-free day, and mm-hmm. you're not unable to pack your, you know, fresh produce in plastic and so on, of course, a lot of people find that inconvenient. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to create some, use science to create new types of packaging material that is more environmentally friendly, plant-based plastic. I think that's something that exists, but it's just not economically feasible at the moment to use on a wider scale. So I think that the movement is here to stay, but I think it will really require a lot of awareness and a lot of collaboration from all layers of society.
Okay, Kian Ho, you get the final word on today's show then. Let's hear from you. What do you think about the future of recycling is, both as a movement and as an industry?
You know, when it comes to the future of plastic recycling, in my view, it's very good. I think, you know, when we look into plastic recycling, in the past, we tend to lean our weight on government. And then we think that government should be the driver. To make sure that we come up with good regulation, supporting infrastructure, and enable that public awareness or that public engagement. Mm-hmm. I think government is still doing that, but government do have a full plate and the result has been mixed. But what has happened is that, you know, we are basically blessed because we have two champions who are playing the role very quietly in the landscape. Champion number one are the global brands. The big brands are doing a lot, either through an EPR scheme.
Right.
Many of the big brands make a pledge that by 2025, they want to use 25% of recycled content in their plastic products or their plastic packaging products. They make the pledge before the pandemic. And until today, we see that all these big brands are still pushing towards that and making good progress to basically hit that target, the sustainability pledge that they have made before pandemic. So that's champion number one. Champion number two are basically the recycling communities. Yeah. So basically behind that, you actually see that the recycling communities are working very, very closely with the product designer, with the manufacturing, you know, injection manufacturing companies, all coming to the table at once to think about how we can actually make the product more sustainably. In the past, plastic product, the entire plastic product or the entire plastic supply chain is very product-centric.
Mm-hmm.
What happens now is that it's slowly moving towards more life cycle-centric, whereby all the multiple stakeholders are coming together to try to craft that sustainable offering and turning it from a product-centric into a sustainability or life cycle-centric type of model. So I think, you know, this has been great, and the recycling community has been working very actively and with the help of new technology, new capabilities, new resources and new funding. I think we will see a lot of exciting innovation and exciting scale up in the plastic recycling scene in Malaysia in near future.
That was great. You've just heard from Sia Kian Ho, the founder of Hankiap Industries, and Mo Tarek, the founder of Earth, that is the e-waste recycling through Heroes. I know we've had a couple of messages during the break.
Right. We have another comment here from 0843. You say it takes more time, cost, energy and manpower to recycle plastic than to produce it. It's a marketing solution, not an environmental one.
Mm. I mean, and he was just saying at the end there about how it's a product thing, and we are seeing some of these bigger brands.
And it's great, right? I mean, they are quietly doing, doing some things, right?
There are jeans companies that are making jeans out of recycled plastics, bottles and things. I know there are sneaker companies that are making sneakers out of recycled plastic. That, you see the odd one or two.
Right.
I really wish that this would become a much bigger thing.
Mainstream.
Yeah. Anyway, time for me and Frida to wrap up for today's show, at least. Anyway, thank you very much for your messages. And, of course, thank you to our guests for today. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. But if you did miss any part of this podcast, don't forget you can download it wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. It's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. And, of course, coming up after the break, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Yu Lee Pacific Group Berhad is involved in the manufacturing of industrial brushes and the trading of machinery parts and industrial hardware. The company will soon be listing on the ACE market of Bursa Malaysia, and they plan to raise gross proceeds of 37.27 million ringgit. The Breakfast Grill will be asking Ang Po Yi, the executive director of Yu Lee Pacific Group, the group's expansion plans and the utilization of those proceeds. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. A little bit of Van Halen to take us up to the top of the hour with Can't Stop Loving You here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.